Hi, everybody, and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm really excited about sharing this conversation with you, and it definitely feels like a conversation more so than an interview because it is with a friend of mine, Susie Ashworth. She is a single mom of three children, high school dropout, Hay House author, international keynote speaker, multiple seven-figure success coach, and serial entrepreneur on a mission. She's worked with thousands of impact-driven leaders in business to create quantum shifts in their lives and their businesses over the past 10 years. And her vision is to help people receive more of what they want without sacrificing who they really are or the people that they love through the four pillars of infinite receiving, which also happens to be the name of her book, Infinite Receiving, Crack the Code to Conscious Wealth Creation, and Finally Manifest Your Dream Life. I want to thank my sponsor for this episode, which is Organifi. I love Organifi products. You've heard me talk about Organifi many times on this show. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition with high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar. All their products taste really great as well. Today, I want to talk to you about Organifi Pure. This is another one of my personal favorites. This is their gut blend. And as you know from maybe other interviews you've listened to or books you've read, and especially interviews on this show where we've talked about gut health, a healthy gut equals a healthy mind. Adding Pure as part of your daily routine, it's a powder you can put in water, helps in clearing that morning brain fog and brings you back to feeling like your old self. This powerful superfood blend is designed to improve gut health, promote healthy BDNF levels, and support mental clarity. So it's made of 9 superfoods. It's 100% USDA certified organic. It tastes like a tart lemonade. It's really good. Rich in beta-glucans and antioxidants. Think clear, improve your gut-brain access, and get your digestion supported. So you can pick up Pure at Organifi.com. You use promo code OVER IT at checkout or go to Organifi.com/OVER IT. That's Organifi.com/OVER IT. And not only get Pure, get 20% off any of your order. And it's your first time order, it's your 40th time order. It doesn't matter. You always get 20% off as my listener. All right. And now on to my coaching conversation with Susie Ashworth. Susie, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here.
Christine, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to chat.
Well, and I love that I have relationships with people that I've never met in person. It's just the coolest thing of this time. And you are someone that I didn't know, but I've gotten to know through a mastermind group. And I have just loved getting to know you and love getting to know everything that you're about. So thank you for being a new friend for me.
I appreciate that. And likewise, I meet so many people in person for the first time and it feels like we've known each other for lifetimes. Yeah. And so I know that when we eventually do meet, that it's going to feel like that too.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that. Well, and it's just for all the people out there listening, you know, I hear so many complaints about people that I don't live in a town where there's conscious people. I'm like, well, you can, I know it's not the same as being like in physical proximity with someone, but you can really meet soul family oceans away because you and I are an ocean away. So I am excited to talk to you for a variety of reasons. One of which is we are going to talk about receiving. And this is a huge thing. I just had a client call yesterday that's indicative of a lot of client calls. And what were like, there's beautiful things happening for her in her life and it's overwhelming. She is the most generous person, just so loving and giving. And, but when it comes to receiving, that creates anxiety, that creates, I don't want to be, you know, the center of attention or I don't want to, and this, and she speaks for at least, I would say, 50 other women I've worked with one-on-one, not to mention thousands of people, podcasts, workshops, everything. So I want to start with, why is receiving love, receiving compliments, even, you know, receiving material things, whether it be money or other material things, success, so difficult, especially for women?
I think that it is a number of reasons, but ultimately, most of it is rooted in self-worth and not feeling worthy and deserving of all of the things that you outwardly desire, and even more so for the things that you secretly desire. It's like just enough should be good enough. And so the idea of allowing more in and more than what you need, I think for many of us is just a real head bender.
It is. And it's almost like we develop these protective strategies of giving when we have low self-worth, or when we figured out that people pleasing was the best way to manage chaos in our home or get our parents' love or attention or validation, or maybe we only got attention from our parent when we did something. And so it becomes an operating system that it's so hard for, and I've been in this boat too. It's so hard to switch to, you know, let me just receive. I remember the first time I spoke on a big stage, it was the Lincoln Center in New York. And it was the big room, and there was a bunch on live stream as well. And I, like, the applause at the end was excruciating for me. I'm like, can I please crawl into a hole right now or run off the stage? So it seems like there has to be, you know, both the self-worth work, but also like a recalibration of our nervous system and body.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit to like the somatic piece of this so that it doesn't feel so overwhelming in our body?
Yeah. And I think that this is, I talk about this in my book. And so everything that I share on this, and really everything, is a lifetime of work, I believe. It's not like one day you wake up and all of a sudden it's like, yay, this is amazing.
I wish it was that. You and I'd be out of a job if that was true.
Yeah, 100%. But also, when you start to shift your mindset to giving yourself permission to allow more and more in, you're constantly at a new growth edge. And every time you get to a new growth edge, there is that feeling. So just before we came on for this conversation, I was chatting to somebody who has been a childhood idol of mine. He was like a celebrity back in the 90s. And I noticed myself feeling in my body, like just really activated. And some people would say nerves, and other people would say excitement. And I would say, honestly, it was a mixture of both. And the thing that I have learned is that no matter what it is that you do, like being a human being, you're going to have feelings, but are you able to find your safety within the feeling? And some of that first actually is the way that you think, and knowing that actually we all bleed. And we don't have to, I don't have to pedestal him. I don't have to pedestal the thousands of people that are, like, we're all the same. So that's a mindset thing. But actually just being able to hand on heart, hand on belly, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, and actually reassuring my body, which I do by being present. Like the laying of hands on the body grounds me into the current moment, and then using the breath. And as I'm breathing in and breathing out, I'm safe. I'm here. I'm present. I'm safe. And actually little exercises like that have been super powerful for me when it comes to being in the present moment. Because when we're having that visceral somatic response, we're either projecting into the future, something bad is going to happen, or we're pulling on a memory from the past. We're not in the present moment. So that grounding of I'm here, it can be really, really powerful.
I think that what I just felt in my body and my system when you were talking us through that was safety.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you know, I can be in my body, because I think with so much giving and people pleasing, we're actually dissociated. You know, we're not in our body. We're always a step ahead of ourselves. We've always got a hand out. We're always thinking, what do I need to do in order to feel safe, to feel love? It's so interesting. Yeah. It's such a paradox, because we're doing all these things to get love.
Yes.
However, when it comes at us, it's like, no, this feels weird. I'm going to make it stop. So
it is such a, both the mental and the emotional, but we have the mental and emotional process and also the body process of making it safe. And something that I've worked so much on clients who, you know, fit this type of, you know, giving, 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 not receiving, is just allowing the overwhelm of love, because love is overwhelming. I mean, I think I've told this story on the podcast before. Like the thing that I have struggled with other than sleep most in motherhood is hypervigilance. Like, yeah. Is she this? Is that? Is she gonna have sleep? Is she this? Is she what? Like all that. Mm-hmm. And when I catch myself and I stop and I'm like, how is this hypervigilance serving me? Like, because everything, even, you know, quote unquote, negative things we know are protective patterns.
Yeah.
And I go in, it's that I love her so effing much. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming. And so the hypervigilance and the doing, quote unquote, protects me from just like being a puddle of tears because I'm so overwhelmed by love for this kid.
So interesting that you use that example. Love is one of the pillars for receiving. And if we wanted to be able to receive infinitely, being able to open yourself up to love is like the most potent medicine. And when I talk about it, I talk about actually how my heart had been protected. So although I would describe myself as a heart-centered individual, so I was coming from love, I would give love, but I wouldn't allow love in because I was afraid of my heart being broken. And this, again, is a response from something that happened in my childhood when I was just 3 months old. And so beyond conscious awareness, but it lived in my body. And the safety mechanism, so again, that word safety, was to protect the heart. So imagine that my heart was protected by a shield, and on the outside of that shield was bars. And it was like, my love can get out, but you cannot get in. And so right. When I hear you talk about that love being so overwhelming, still, when we're in that hypervigilant space, it's that we're talking about the opposite end of the spectrum, like so much love, it's overwhelming. But I imagine, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that hypervigilance is, there's still deep protection. And there has to be a softening when the hypervigilance is released. Does that feel accurate, an accurate description?
Yeah, absolutely. A softening and a letting go.
Yeah.
Like letting go of control, if I was going to use a word. So yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if I take it off lines and I bring it back to myself and just go, okay, what's my own personal experience? Well, there have been times in life, especially we go back to early life, where being out of control felt really, really scary. So some part of me thinks it's better to be hypervigilant, right? So, and I know this, but I have to really practice it in my body and allow myself to be overwhelmed with that love and just let it wash over me, because it's worth it, you know, but it does take practice, and I've been getting better at it. And I see it, you know, it showed up in different aspects of my life before, and now I see it in motherhood, and it might show up again. So I'd love to turn it back to you and just ask you, where has receiving been a challenge for you? Like, where's your work been in this?
Oh, so many places. The four key areas have been, first of all, in allowing myself to be seen. So I really resonated with you when you talked about being on that stage, because there was so much of me for such a long time that craved being seen, and at the same time was so afraid to be seen.
Yeah.
Like I really wanted people to notice me. And then at the same time, it was like, I am not good enough. I am not powerful enough. I felt like an imposter in my life. And so that first space was really owning the fact that I am a great and unique human being, and that my imprint on this world can never be replicated. And that's important. My voice is important and my message is important. And I think that throughout my life, I'd look to other people and I wanted to be them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fostered from the age of 3 months old, and I was brought up with white parents who were absolutely incredible. And for a Black woman who was brought up in a predominantly white area, my hair being Afro and just wanting to be like everybody else. My family were quite working class, and so we had the smallest house and the worst car, and there was just this inferiority complex that I hid very well, but absolutely seeped into everything that I did. And so there was just this insecurity, this embedded insecurity in who I was. And I think that it's only been since starting my entrepreneurial journey that I've had to really do the work around that. Life was small enough for it to not matter up until I started my own business. And then it mattered.
Mm.
So that was huge.
Mm. Has it shown up for you in relationships?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I would say that the love pillar, the pillar of love, that's where I've done my most work. And, you know, what I realized living my life, like I said, feeling like I was heart-centered, but really living with my heart closed, that impacted my marriage. So I was married for 15 years. And I'm proud to say that we do have a really positive co-parenting relationship. But I know that when I look at my side of the street and why our marriage didn't survive, part of that was not allowing him in, not allowing him close enough. Mm. And I think that as well with my kids, I've loved my kids and loved them from the second I found out that I was pregnant with them. But there was a hardness that stopped me being as soft as I wanted to be as a mother. And that is the work that I had to do around my heart to open myself up in all relationships. So friendships, intimate relationships, relationships with my kids, well, the relationship I have with my business and how I show up in my business. You know, now one of my key core business values is love, to be in love and to act from love. It's easy to forget. It's yeah. easy to forget. Because we spend so much of our life in fear, low-level anxiety, low-level stress. So much of our life is spent in that way that we think that it's normal, and we don't even realize that the decisions that we are making are frequently coming from fear.
Right.
And so it's big work, the heart stuff and the love when it comes to allowing more, allowing yourself to be touched, you know? Allowing yourself deep pleasure. I would say that up until 5 years ago, I don't think that I allowed myself deep pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild to me.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that one, because that's a big one. I think, again, especially, well, I don't think that's just women. Well, let's define pleasure so people have context here. When you say deep pleasure, what are you talking about?
I think, well, there is sexually and sensually, and then there's also just being in life and that sense of aliveness that comes when you are deeply, wildly present. And I think that that does become challenging when you have kids, for sure. Yes. And I have three of them, so I know. And I also know that we're not encouraged by society and culture to indulge ourselves in the art of pleasure, pleasuring oneself. It can feel self-indulgent. Mm-hmm. And so, and for
just
me,
awkward. You know, I think it can feel awkward as well.
Okay, in what way?
Well, this is what I've heard from people. And this is, you know, I worked a lot with my pleasure and sexuality in my 30s after my first divorce. And because, well, I think it's because my inner critic was so loud. Mm. You know, I had such a relationship with myself that motivated myself through being hard on myself that like creating pleasure for myself was like, how do I do that? You know, like, what is that? I knew how to quote unquote zone out and relax. Like I knew how to watch TV or, you know, sit outside and have a glass of wine or have, you know, dinner with friends. Like I knew how to do like that kind of pleasure. But when it came to just like creating pleasure for myself, especially sensual or sexual, it was like, well, this is a different note. Like usually my relationship with myself is one of usually being hard on myself. So it's sort of like, you know, maybe if you had a lover and then you weren't with them for 20 years and you got back together, it might be, or the first time you're with someone, it might be a little like, oh, this is, it sort of felt like that. And I had to really unpack the well-ingrained relationship of being hard on myself and causing myself more pain than pleasure.
Yeah. I fully get that. The story that I was living was, well, there were many stories, but particularly around sexuality, it was just, I was switched off and I did not know how to turn myself on. And I inherently knew, because of the work that I'd done around receiving, that I wasn't willing to tolerate a life where I was going to spend the next 50 or 60 years being turned off. Like I knew that, but I had no idea how. And I think that it's so interesting that you use the word zone out. Like I knew how to zone out and watch Netflix and have a glass of wine. And I think that when we are talking about pleasure in the body, it's the zoning in. Can exactly. I be deeply present with myself? And this part of this again is knowing your greatness. Am I willing to look at my body and celebrate my body, celebrate all of the steps that it has taken to get me here? Am I willing to communicate with my body as opposed to disassociate? We're so distracted, and so much of our lack of being able to receive is that we are distracted in the moment from what is present to us. And I think that that was a big, like, is it safe for me to be here in my body and open myself up to pleasure with just me, not even with a partner? It was like, just me. It was like, contraction. Right. And I think that probably the biggest thing that I've learned about receiving across all areas of my life is that I've got to be open. My body has to be open and in expansion if I want to receive optimally. If my asshole is tight, if I'm clenching my shoulders, if I'm hunched over, like I cannot receive all that is available to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that creates, well, one of the biggest things, I shouldn't make such bold statements, that creates stagnancy, is that a word, stagnancy, in relationships, especially long-term monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
Is that at first you have all the hormones and chemicals of a new relationship. And then the newness isn't the aphrodisiac anymore. And if there isn't a deep level of intimacy and receiving and like surrendering to deeper levels of pleasure, from both my personal experience and from working with people, it, the relationship kind of goes flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the only way monogamy stays interesting in any way, is like continuing to meet your edges of like how much, not only how much can you give, but how much can you actually receive?
Oh.
And that's where it gets juicy. Yeah. And where stuff can come up, because it's like, okay, like how deeply can I trust? How deeply can I let go? And then there's the opportunity for that, you know, for pleasure to actually be a portal to the divine. And then actually receiving that kind of pleasure and that kind of, like, I call them Godasms. That, I mean, that's a whole nother level. And wow, the level of surrender that that requires is, woof.
It's big. It's funny, the words that keep coming up, surrender, letting go, releasing, allowing. And that, and I think the other big word is accepting, acceptance. Can I accept who I am? Can I then love who I am? Can I accept what I want and then love that I want it? And then am I willing to ask for it? And then am I willing to allow it in?
So I'm going to shift gears slightly and talk, bring this more to career. So I work with a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially a lot of people that want to build a coaching practice. But I think this really applies to anyone in terms of their career and money and success and all those things. Is, and I'll just use the example of a coach. I can get on a session, I can really serve people, but when it comes to enrolling people, when it comes to increasing my rates, when it comes to actually receiving money so that I can do what I love, that's where I get stuck.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that one?
Yes, we can. I think that the first thing we got to just quickly touch upon again, because it's really important, is that often we are denying that what we are doing is worthy and deserving of the highest compensation because we are not clear on the gift that we are able to. We're not owning the gifts that we are sharing. And so that is the first thing. Like, and it's really understanding that the gift has a value. And actually, the gift has nothing to do with you as an individual. And I think that this is huge when it comes to pricing. It's like, I couldn't charge that. I'm not worth that. It's like your worth cannot be quantified. As an individual, you are priceless. And so you need to take yourself out of the equation when it comes to pricing your services and look at the value of the transformation. And I think that that's a super important mindset shift. It's like, I am worthy and deserving. I know it. I know that I am great at what I do. I know it. And then the transformation is its own body. And how, what's the value that you put on that? And when I ask that question to my clients, usually there is an immediate like, oh, okay. If we're valuing the transformation versus me, then again, this is really, this is priceless. This is life-changing. This does this, this does that, this does this. So if you weren't afraid, because again, we always come back to fear. If I wasn't afraid, then what would be the price that you wanted to charge? So two very important things that you get to look at there when it comes to the pricing. And then when it comes to the actual receiving, like, so it's like, okay, intellectually I get this, but I still block it when it comes to allowing that money into my business. What I want people to understand is that every time you block that money coming into your business, you are denying the person who wants the transformation and they want you as a facilitator. And so what is more important, you being able to help people or you being in the overgiving martyr energy? because when we get to it, there's a person for every price. And again, this is a decision that you make when you go into business. Like, how much money do you want to be earning a month? How much money do you want to be earning a year? What's the impact that I desire to make in this world? Those, like, what do you want is always the first question. Mm. And then you have to act in alignment with the desire. So if you are the person who's saying, I want to be making £10,000 a month or £20,000 a month, but you're only charging £200 a session, what you're doing is creating a recipe for burnout, which denies you not only how much you want to receive, but it also the impact that you want to create, because you're acting in alignment with burnout rather than your actual desire. And so there has to be, it's like this, it's an energetic thing and a logical thing. And we have to play with both. The first step is like, what do you want? And then am I willing to act in alignment with that? And then I think probably you're very similar to me, Christine, is that you'll have people who say, this is what I want, this is the desire, but they are unable to act in alignment with the desire. And that's when the somatic work, that's when the energetic work has to come into play to help people release the stories that tell them that it's not safe to move in alignment with the vision that they have for the identity that they want to become.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd love to talk about upper limiting too. You know, I know that was a term. It's who wrote The Big Leap? Was that
Fay Hendrix?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say Harville Hendrix, but I knew that wasn't right. Can you talk a little bit about upper limiting and how that can make receiving challenging and tricky as well sometimes?
Yeah. You know, it happens when I think that this, you see this in feast and famine when we're in business. So it's like we do really well and then we do really badly. We do really well and we do really badly. And what happens, the way that I talk about this, is that you'll make a decision about where it is that you're going and you will act in alignment with that decision and you will see some success. Then what needs to happen is the real work is the calibration to the new identity over a sustained period of time. And so that means we don't necessarily need to skyrocket again, but we need to hold the energy of the person who has just had the 10K client or the 5K breakthrough, whatever it is. And so what that means is that you have to continue behaving and making decisions from that place of alignment with your new identity. What happens with many people is that they are on the inside saying things like, this is a fluke, or I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, or I don't deserve this. And so I'm going to create a scenario where things can only go one way and we're not talking up. And it's that subconscious belief that I'm not worthy or deserving, or that subconscious belief that this can never continue or continue to get better, that makes us behave in alignment with the story that is not going to serve us. Mm. And so this is where, well, of course, it's always our own work, but I feel like this is where we come in as coaches, is to be able to reflect to people where they are acting from their blind spots, as opposed to, and show them, okay, you said that you wanted this, but you're now about to take an action that is completely in alignment with who you were 2 years ago versus who it is that you are wanting to become, or, you know, or where you're at right now.
Yeah. 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 And everyone that may be listening right now, maybe nodding their head and going, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. And then it just kind of comes down to, you just got to do it. And, you know, we look at trauma, mm-hmm. and healing trauma, the process of edging, which, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not a trauma specialist, so, but basically it's, pushing yourself just a little bit further and further, and like expanding the degree of safety that you can experience in your body.
Yes.
And so it's to me that combo of everything you're describing. And then all like with that, like, cause we need the mindset part, cause our body, it's hard to get our body on board unless our mind has accepted, okay, like there's a good reason for this, but it's edging and stretching. And I remember back in, I mean, it was probably at least 12, 13 years ago, I hired Steve Chandler as my coach, and I had been coaching since 2004, and I told him my pricing, and he just was silent. Like he didn't say a word. And then he said, well, doesn't seem like you value yourself very much. You must not be a very good coach.
Whoa. Thanks, Steve.
And I don't know if those were his exact words. Maybe it was a little softer, but that was what the essence was. And that was such a transformational moment for me in my business. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, am I either don't think I'm that good?
Yeah.
Or do I just have like, am I not valuing? Mm. And so that, so it's the worth and the value. So for people listening, you gave some earlier, but are there any other, you know, daily practices, or just, they don't have to be daily, like practices or processes that can help us with this?
Yeah. So I use something called the anchor statement, where I, first of all, I've created like a mini vision statement. I suppose that's what it is for my life, and what the values and the principles are that I live by. And then I have the roles of my life, which are important to me. Like, what are the roles I'm going to need to prioritize in order to create my vision? And so within my anchor statement, one of the things I say is that I prioritize creativity, and I take on one project every single month that takes me to the edge of my growth zone. And I have this recorded and I listen to it every day. It's really, really powerful to listen to the intention that you have for your life. I talk about who I want to be as a mother, as a partner, as a CEO, as a friend, as a sister, as a daughter. Those are the five. And it's really a powerful reminder every day. And so it means that when it comes to, what's interesting is I don't explicitly have finance in there. However, when I hear myself say that these are the values that I live from, like I live from the values of infinite receiving, I speak my desires into existence. It reminds me that it's important for me to say what it is that I want. And if I'm saying that I want this, then it's up to me to act in alignment with it. And so I really recommend, like I wrote it out. It takes about 3 minutes I recorded it. It takes about 3 minutes for me to listen to on a daily basis. This has been super, super powerful and potent for me. And I'm really happy to give your guys access to the process if they want to do that themselves.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then just with the pricing, what I really want you to do is just ask yourself, if I wasn't afraid, what would I be charging for my services? And then depending on where you are on the journey right now, I either want you to start charging for those services now, or if that feels overwhelming, say the next three clients, this is how much I charge. Then after these three clients, I'm putting my prices up by $500. I'm putting my prices up by $1,000, and just keep going to that edge, incrementally increasing. And it's that same exercise, that same practice of, I'm safe. It's safe for me to charge $500 more for my services. I am worthy and deserving of the highest compensation for the transformation that I facilitate. Like reminding yourself of that and then acting in alignment. And I think that, you know, one of the pillars that we haven't spoken about is the pillar of support. And the more work you want to do in this world, the more impact that you want to have, the more you desire to receive, the more you have to have people in your corner. And so if you find yourself butting up against brick walls, like two steps forward, three steps back, get support. Like, get support to change the context that you are living in. It is as simple and as hard as asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I know you have a lot more in your book. So can you tell everyone about your book, where they can get it, and also where they can connect and learn more from you as well?
Yeah. The book is called Infinite Receiving: Crack the Code to Conscious Wealth Creation and Finally Manifest Your Dream Life. It is available everywhere that you can buy books. However, if you do come to my website, which is susieashworth.com, then you can also buy the book from there. And there are a whole host of bonuses that are fun. So please feel free to either come over to the website or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of those good places. We are there.
Right. And the other thing that's awesome is I have a lot of listeners in Europe, and you are based in London.
Yes.
Right?
I'm just outside London. I do lots of events and things in London.
London, yes. So if people want to, you know, get on your list, or where's the best place for people to learn about events that you're doing?
Yeah, also at my website. And right, we have got two events coming up in June. I've got an incredible retreat that's happening in East Sussex. That's going to be super fun. The retreat is called Aliveness. So it is all of the things in your life. Like, it's really about helping you in your life to feel that sense of aliveness, letting go of the stories, the shadows, all of that stuff that keeps you more contained than you need to be. So that's happening in June. And then we have Infinite Receiving Live that is happening in October, the 4th to the 6th of October. And that is going to be a riot. And that's a full on business event, how you can receive more in your business. So it's going to be super fun.
I love that. I love that. And I've had a couple of people from this community go to your events, and I always get a big thank you. Yeah. Not from you, from them. Well, you thank me too, but for other people, it's like, oh, wow. Because I know that people in Europe, you know, often are craving more, because so much seems to happen here in the States. So it's wonderful to have people on that side of the world. So just thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for edging yourself into greater levels of receiving. I think it's so valuable for us to learn from each other when we've been on similar paths. You know, it would be really hard for me to learn from someone who's like, oh, I've always been so great at receiving. I've been like, you can't, how are you going to get me there? So yeah, thank you for sharing your journey. And yeah, anything you want to say in closing to people, any reminders you want to give?
Yeah, I want to say that the affirmation and intention that has really changed my life and my entire existence is faith plus action equals miracles. And what I mean when I say faith really is self-belief, really believing in yourself. And that starts with a decision too. It starts as a choice to know that you are worthy and deserving of believing in. And once you get there, then it's about aligned action. Like, what is the best next step? You don't have to know the entire plan. I definitely have never known the entire plan, but just what is the best next step for me? And you always know that answer. You just get to tune in and ask yourself that question and then commit to following that inner guidance. And from that place, you can create miracles beyond comprehension. And I really sit here today as a living example of that. And yeah, I want to, if you only take one thing from this, opening the doors up to receiving is absolutely intertwined with the knowing that faith plus action equals miracles.
Faith plus action equals miracles. I love that. I have heard and say, you know, the universe meets us at the point of action and intention. So yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you, Susie. It was such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it.